First and foremost, let me just say good morning. This is a day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So I'm just so grateful, elated to be here on this Sunday morning with my family. You are my family. We have been together for a mighty long time, and I'm glad to know that you're not tired of me yet. So we're just going to keep on holding on to God's unchanging hand. Is that all right? Amen. I bring greetings from the hot desert. And I thank you, St. John, for your warm, always warm embrace. I'm not going to say welcome because I said earlier that I am at home. Sister Anthony, happy birthday. I am at home. And so I'm just here to attempt to practice on you today the word of God that he has placed in my spirit on this day for you. When I first got here this morning, I had something else on mind that I wanted to preach in here today. But after I entered into the building and I could feel the presence of the Lord, and he sent me right back where I started early this week to bring you a message that I felt that he wanted me to bring to St. John on this day. So if you have your Bibles, if you'd open them with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the 4th chapter. And while you're getting there, let me pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would infill me, engulf me with your spirit. I pray that you would use me, God, to present the word that you have placed in my heart, in my mind, in my spirit, that those, Father, that's before me would see less of me and more of you. I thank you, Father God, and I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The book of Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verses 12 and 13a, from the King James translation of the Bible. If you have it, say amen. If you don't have it, say wait a minute. Amen. My pastor used to say, obedience is better than sacrifice. So we just want to be obedient to the word of God. Not just this moment, not just this day, but every day that he allows us to get up and to see a brand new day, and realizing that we're in the day that he brought us into. Amen. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verses 12 and 18 and 13a. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divide and asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. And 13a says, neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight. Thus in the reading of God's word, God's word is already blessed. I pray that you would hide God's word in your heart, that you may not sin against him. And just for a little while on this morning, looking at everything that's going on in this world. I want to talk to you about God's word against the world. God's word against the world. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to tell you that I believe that this world is very unpredictable. It's an unpredictable place. And I want to say that if you're like me, if you have any kind of umps about you and you're like me, you know that you wake up every day thinking, what's next? Because there's so many things that are going on. And then I began to research on this, and it begins to tell me that over 8 billion people on this planet, anything could happen. Let me say that. 8 billion people and growing. And as I research this, it tells me that it took over 300,000 years for humans to reach a population of 1 billion, and then it took only 222 years to go from 1 billion to 8 billion. And at our present rate of growth, as we are growing right now, it's predicted that by 2050, the population will be over 9 billion. I don't know what your math say. But mine say that represent a 33% increase in population since 2010. Yes, my brothers and my sisters, the world is changing, and it's changing rapidly. You see, I believe that we are living in an age of unprecedented change. We're living with population growth. There's ever-changing knowledge explosion because knowledge doubled every 5 years. There's comparable changes in the field of transportation. You know what I'm talking about. Cars can drive themselves nowadays. And look at the field of communication. Instant messengers turn fax machine into and landlines into and telephone into antiques. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, everybody sitting in here, everyone knows that in this modern world, now you carry around a handheld computer that has the ability to organize your entire life. I'm talking about that cell phone that you have in your back pocket, that cell phone that you have in your purse, that cell phone that you have in your shirt pocket. It is a small computer, and it can organize your entire life if you know how to work it. You see, all of these changes impact us in many ways. But there is another most significant change that has taken place over the last 80 years. I want you to hear me. It is the rapid deterioration of a genuine belief and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you today that that is difficult to watch. Why do you say that? Well, look at what happened after COVID-19, after the COVID-19 pandemic was over. I believe that there should have been a massive number of Christians returning to corporate worship, but we are still waiting for them to come back to church. Congregations are slim to none because we've got so comfortable staying at home, laying in the bed to watch the preacher preach on television, on Instagram, or whatever we have that we can get to, and we sit there and we watch him with our pajamas on. It's time to get up out of that house. It's time to get up and go back to the house of God. It's time to worship, because the Bible said, forsake not that sept the fellowship one with another. You need to fellowship with the children of God. You need to come to the house of worship. You need to come to the house of praise and give God the praise that you rightly deserve, because he didn't have to wake you up this morning. with all the changes that is going on, I believe that in the seminary, the question was asked, will God's word stand the test of time? Well, like my pastor said, well, I'm glad that you asked. You see, God's word stands against skepticism. Never, never, ever in history of the church has the truth of the word been so openly assailed by unbelievers. And when I say that, they openly claim God's word is a false or fictitious, and they do it with such a proficiency that the undiscerning, I think, is coming from a brilliant mind. Gifted writers and speakers use every modem available to them to express their skepticism. Magazines and newspapers and social media and motivational speaking and communities attacked by the very foundation of the Christian faith. They boldly claim that science and reasoning and archaeology and free thought is all on their side. But I'm going to tell you something. I know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that died on Calvary's cross, that we may have a right to the tree of life. We need to fellowship. We need to worship our Lord and Savior, because he is the one. You see, these skeptics tell us that no educated person can truly believe in a supernatural religion. The fundamental belief of the Trinity, we're not supposed to believe in the deity of Christ, the personality of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, the atonement, the need for prayer, and the existence of devil and heaven and hell are quietly being laid to rest on a shell of antiquity about what I call for philosophical speculation. They tell us that there can't be any gold in heaven and there can't be any fire in hell. They tell us that there is no blessing in obedience and no peace and repentance. And then to top it all off, they just keep saying that there's no resurrection for the grave. I beg to differ with you. They sound like a minister that was heard that didn't want to be accused of being anything but a child of God. But when he began to speak, this is the way he preached, like this. He said, my brothers and my sisters, we had better repent, sort of, and be saved, so to speak, or we shall be damned to a certain extent. And then you know what? Those who believe this wishy-washy gibberish on the verge of a shipwreck faith. But I'm here today to say thankful God's word will stand its ground against these skeptics. Blinded eyes may reject him, but God is still God. The skeptics cannot tell me. Deaf ears may refuse to hear him, but I'm here to tell you today that God is still God. You may not believe a word that I'm saying, but God is still God. You may not wake up in the morning and say that I feel great, but God is still God, because I believe that God is not going to give you any more than what you can handle. And the Bible says that if he give you more than what you can handle, he'll give you a way to escape. But will God's word stand against atheism? You see, the atheist is a vile group when it comes to the word of God. They are doubters like the skeptics. They are persuaders, locked in, completely convinced that faith is a waste of time. And they can be found everywhere. The plague of unbelief from billionaires, people like Buffett and Zuckerberg and media types that Marr and Bacon and all those people and governors like Jesse Ventura and Ronald Reagan Jr. and all of those people that do not believe. But I'm going to tell you one thing, they're going to wake up one of these days in hell, because there is a heaven and there is a hell. And when you don't believe in the word of God, my pastor used to preach hell and damnation. If you don't worship God here, it's going to be too late. When the doors are open in heaven, you're going to be going straight to hell, because you have made your bed in hell and that's where you will reside. These atheists perform a service to mankind. They steer us as believers to deepen our faith. You see, Christianity has stood the assault of a much greater adversary than these. Their anti-God philosophies accomplish nothing but to give them a miserable way to die. You know, I read a story about a new believer, and I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. A new believer was sitting on a curb of the street somewhere in the Philippines, and just looking at him, Reverend Burks, looking at him. He was a rough-looking character. It was obvious that he hadn't been long removed from the desert or from the jungle, where he resided in the jungle. And he was sitting there poring over the New Testament that was given to him by a missionary. And an atheist came and sat alongside him, and he asked a question. He said, "What are you doing reading that stupid little book? It's just a book of old wise tales and folklore and garbage." And as I was reading, I could even see in my mind's eye that the native man looked up and he answered. He said, "You know, 6 months ago, I was a headhunter in the jungle, and a missionary came along and told me about Christ, and now I'm saved." Then the young man, rugged as he was, stood up, and he was towering over the short atheist, and he looked at him and he said, "Now, do you want me to go back to where I was? Do you want me to throw away this little book, grab you by the neck, cook you, and eat you?" You see, the atheist may try to dispel the word of God, but there is no real cause to be alarmed, to be steadfast students of the word. The ark of God is in no danger. Though the oxen may seem unsteady, God sees their faithfulness. There is no creature who is not in his sight range. The day will come when they will have to explain their action to Jesus, to God. And Jesus says this in Matthew 26 and 36. He said this, he said, "Every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." I'm here to tell you that the unbelievers shall have their part in the lake that burned with fire and brimstone. It wouldn't matter how much they are, how much influence they have. I'm here to tell you that the influence that I lean on, the influence that I have, is because of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you see, I believe that no matter how famous you are, no matter how much influence you got, it won't matter how much money you have, because if you have a pleasing personality, that won't help them. If they have a clean character, that won't help them. If they have good intentions, that won't help them, because it's too late. It's too late. Because the Bible tells me that you have to work while it is day, because when night comes, no man can work. You got to work the work of him that sent you. So you need to work and not give up. Yes, I know that sometimes that road get rough and the hills get hard to climb. But let me tell you one thing. Every time you take one step, God is taking two. And when you get ready to slack down, he's holding you by your hand, and he's pulling you up that hill where you need to go. Because God said that he would never leave you nor forsake you, that he'd be with you always, even until the end of the world. God ain't going to leave you, and I'm telling you, I'm not going to leave him. He brought me over 75 years, and I tell you what, I've had some good days, and I've had some bad days, and I've had some hills to climb, but all of my good days outweigh my bad days, and I won't complain. And finally, will God's word stand against intellectualism? You see, in this modern age of unbelief, if our intellect doubles every 5 years, will we outgrow God? Will ministers of the gospel turn to motivational message, like some of those you hear nowadays on television that leave out and don't tell the truth? Intellect cannot obliterate the word of God, because man will never be smarter than God. Steadfast believers are growing tired of seeing the Bible put on trial by some religious degenerate who think the word of God is no longer relevant to our present generation. Well, let me tell you, if you're like me and you was raised up by your mama and your grandma and your daddy and your grandpapa used to tell you that, boy, let me tell you one thing, you better get up and get yourself out of that marble time and get down here on your knees and pray to God, because if you don't praise God, he's going to take you out of here. But that ain't what mama said. Mama said, boy, I brought you in this world and I take you out. See, I'm gonna tell you, mamas don't play. And so we need a generation today to look out after their children. Because their children nowadays are getting to the place to where they don't wanna follow the parents' guidance. And see, I'm here to tell you that my faith is not irrelevant. I've got a backbone like Isaiah. I got armor like Paul. And I have a wagon load of determination like Peter. I signed up to fight the devil, to kick him as long as I got a foot to kick. I signed up to fight the devil, to hit him as long as I got a fist. I gotta fight the devil, and I'm gonna fight him with every bite. I can bite him with every teeth that I got in my mouth. And when I'm footless, and when I'm handless, and when I'm toothless, I'm gonna gun him all the way to eternity, because I got a word from the Lord, and the God is on my side. Because the word says God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the divide and asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. We are the church. And the book of Matthew says, not only did it say that we are the church, but he said this, he said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, we need to get fighting mad. When Satan launches a battle at us, he calls us into action, all of his forces to impede our progress. He won't stand by and see the kingdom of God advance without a fight. It's time, my brothers and sisters, for us to get fighting mad and to declare war against the enemy of the church. It's time for us for a supernatural confrontation and an all-out offense, good God Almighty, and spiritual warfare on our part. And Jesus is our militant commander. He is the Word. The Word was in the beginning, and the Word will be in the end, because I know a God. Right. that brought me from yesterday to today. And while I'm at it, science can't eradicate him. Education cannot remove him. Philosophers cannot eliminate him. Skeptics can weaken him. Atheists can obliterate him. Intellectual can't undermine him. Jesus is the salvation of the world. He has been the salt of the wayward world of Savior. He has been the power to lift evil empires off their hinges. He is the one. He has founded institution of healing and mercy. Jesus is the one. He has founded a blasphemer, and he has turned a blasphemer into an apostle and a thief and murderer into a preacher, and he will continue to infiltrate evil with good because the world is no match for the Word. The Word is God, and there is no match for him. And how do I know that there is no match for him? Because God's word against the world is this, my brothers and my sisters. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God sent Jesus for a wretch like me. God sent Jesus because I didn't know what to do. God sent Jesus when I was dead in my sins. God sent Jesus that I may have a right to the tree of life. God, my God, sent Jesus to tell me that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God sent Jesus, and I'm so glad that when we report, the Bible says that he come through 42 generations. He come down, was born in Bethlehem. Oh, yes, he was. And I'm so glad that he was down here for 33 and a half years. I'm so glad that he paid the price for me. I'm so glad that he went to Calvary's cross. They took him up to Dolorosa Road. They nailed his hands to a cross. They nailed his feet to a cross. They hung him up between two thieves. I'm so glad that he died for me. I'm so glad that he took the penalty of my sins upon his shoulders. I'm so glad that when he died, he buried all my sins with him. And I'm so glad that he stayed there for 3 days. But the Bible says, Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power of heaven and earth. And I'm so glad that he has healing power. I'm so glad that he can heal the blind. I'm so glad that he can make the lame walk. I'm so glad that he can turn a nothing into something. I'm so glad that Jesus came for me. But when I keep on reading, the Bible tells me that he wasn't done yet. Because when he rose from the grave with all power of heaven and earth, he went on back to heaven, sitting on the right side of the Father, looking down and making intercessions on you and for me. He knows every hair on your head. He knows every thought in your mind. He knows every walk that you take. He knows every step that you make. He knows all about you. He said that he will never leave you nor forsake you. And I'm so glad today that he lives inside of me. That's why I can say God's word against the world is that I am a living testimony. I might should have been dead and gone, but God allowed me to live on. I'm so glad today that he kept me. God bless you. God's word against the world.